So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I've given this devotion to the elders, and I just want to give it to you. Because a friend of mine called me the other day, and he said, about 2 weeks ago, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he said, Ronnie, what do you think the weapons are? And now we know that the weapons are, we understand, is the word of God, prayer, and all these things, and prayer and things like that. I want to give you just three this morning, real quickly before we baptize. I want to give you three weapons that may be overlooked weapons of spiritual warfare. Overlooked weapons of spiritual warfare. Now, normally I don't do this, but I want to say, take a moment real quickly and say, welcome to, is it Clive and Yvonne? Cleve and Yvonne. Good to have y'all. They're worship leaders for a very good friend of mine, Jimmy Miller. Many of you know Jimmy Miller, our LLC. Good to have y'all. I thought I was expecting y'all in the 11 o'clock service. I looked around and said, I think that's them. So good to have you guys. You want to see somebody worship. That man loves God and worships God. My goodness. But so we're glad, honored to have you guys this morning. So overlooked weapons of spiritual warfare. Well, my iPad is not wanting to cooperate with me. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And when you get there, say amen. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm praying for you bunch of sinners. Here's what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to draw for you this morning from the Old Testament and the New Testament and tell you how that believers sometimes believe lies. And when we believe lies, the devil takes us down a road of destruction. But I want to give you three things that you can do to guard your heart and from the adversary's deceit, and understand this. 1 Kings, and I won't go there because of time's sake. Now, listen, I'm going to give you something I'm not giving the 11 o'clock service. Because we got eight people being baptized in the 11 o'clock service, so I'm not going to have any time, but I wanted to give you this. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah the prophet believed three lies immediately after God's monumental mountaintop victories over the prophets of Baal. Can I tell you that when you have a great victory, you got to be careful that you don't go into a great battle and a great depression. That when you go through a great victory, sometimes, you know, you think the devil is knocked out and you let your hands come down and you're not on guard. And that's when the devil likes to come in and throw you for a loop. But the devil is a liar and you don't have to put up with his shenanigans. Can you say amen? So like Elijah, believers, though, are prone to think that the Lord has abandoned them. Their situations become hopeless, and they're all alone in battle. Now, I know nobody in here because you're such great Christians. You've never gone through that. You've never thought, where is God? You've never thought, God has abandoned me. You've never thought that. But when we get worn out, we drop our guard. And when we drop our guard, the enemy comes in and speaks lies. Pastor, what is that guard? Well, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And so if we're going to guard our heart, that means that if we're going to guard against the lies, we've got to guard our heart. And so there are three practical things. Now, I know that sometimes we get, ooh. But I want to give you some practical things to combat the devil in spiritual warfare. And when you talk about spiritual warfare, people kind of get wigged out. Oh, my God. No, it's real. Let me tell you, the enemy hates your stinking guts. And God loves your stinking guts. And God is for you and the devil's against you. The God is good, the devil is bad, and they haven't changed places. But here's what I want you to know. There are three things. First of all, and I'm going to give you the scripture and move on because it's 9:30 now. First of all, rest. There's a practical thing. What? I thought I was supposed to get busier. No, you got to rest. Rest in Him. Those that enter into His rest. Let me give you this. 1 Kings 19:5 through 8. Talking about Elijah. He lay down and slept. He ran from Jezebel, but then he ran and just slept. And he said, behold, there was an angel there touching him. And he said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate, drank, and laid down again. See, when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. And so understand that God's presence and community are weapons in the battle against the devil's lies. Now, I want you to hear this closely. I think it's my next one. Make sure you rest when you're tired, but don't rest when you're not tired, because that borders laziness. See, that's the problem. The problem is we don't rest when we're tired. We rest. You got to rest when you're tired, but make sure that you don't rest when you're not tired. Oh, I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to save up some time for when I... No. You'll get used to... The Bible says take up a rest, not a residence. You want to take up residence in the place of rest, but no, God has a work for you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you right now. He's got a work for you to do. Don't underestimate the power... Are you ready? This is real spiritual. Don't underestimate the power of a nap. How many feels better when you get up from a nap? Now, I don't know how you were. Man, I'm telling you, I used to fight naps. Now I fight you to get one. Don't underestimate the power of a nap. Because listen, Elijah, the Lord fed Elijah twice and let him sleep. Don't underestimate the power of a nap and a meal. Don't underestimate the power of a nap and a meal. Number two. God's presence. Well, Pastor, that's pretty spiritual. No. Don't underestimate the presence of God. He said in Psalm 16:11, you will show the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. When the devil starts talking lies, you need to make sure that you get into the presence of God. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? God is omnipresent, which means that He is present at all times, in all places. But that means that it's God's presence. But there's a difference in God's omnipresent and the manifested presence of God. And we need to get into the manifested presence of God. Well, Pastor, what is that? I mean that you put on some worship music, you put on some praise music, and you just let God infiltrate where you are, because He also said that in His presence, there is not only fullness of joy, but there is liberty. And so don't underestimate the power of His presence. Listen, today God's Spirit lives in those of us who believe. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We do not need to go somewhere special just to seek the presence of God. You can do that right there where you are. You can do it right there in the car. Wherever you are, that's where you ought to seek the presence of God, because the Bible says that He inhabits the praises, which means that He comes into where you are, and wherever God is, there is rest, there is peace, there is nourishment. It reinvigorates you, ready to go to the next level. Can you give me a good amen? So God's presence is a special place. Yet God's presence is at all times, in all places, for every believer. But like Navy SEALs who are effective near water, Believers are victorious over helplessness, discouragement, bondage, and lies when, as Pastor Anthony said, we dive into the presence of God. When we go deeper, we're more effective. And then the third, rest, God's presence, and community. What? Yeah. Don't underestimate the power of community. You need the person next to you. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, I need you. I might not like you, but I need you. I mean, that's just truth, right? You know, everybody talks, well, I just like everybody. No, you don't. You're a liar. There are Christians that I don't like them, Pastor. I love them, but I don't like them. Which simply means I love you, but I don't want to go to dinner with you. It means I love you, but I'm not going to invite you over to my house. Why? Because you EGR, extra grace required. Why? Because you get on my last nerve, but I love you. How many's got some family members that way? I got to be careful. My mother-in-law will be in the 11 o'clock service. Nah, she's good. But here's what Hebrews 10:23 says. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. See, that's community. That's church. You need the church, and the church needs you. You need community, and the community needs you. If you read on over into 1 Kings, you'll talk about Elijah, and Elijah shows up with his servant Gehazi. But can I tell you that it matters who you show up with? It matters. Who you show up with matters. You know, at my dad's retirement party, we were at his church, and I was sitting next to my sister-in-law, and I had my arm around her, and my wife wasn't there, and I had my arm around my sister-in-law, and it had been a few years. A lot of people came to the church that hadn't seen me or hadn't seen in a long time, and everybody was asking the question, oh, my God, who is Marie with? Because Marie's my sister-in-law. My brother had died, and so they were asking, oh, Marie's got her boyfriend. They thought we had showed up together. Come on, somebody. And then somebody goes, oh, no, that's Ronnie, her brother-in-law. And so it matters who you show up with. But now check this out. Elijah showed up with his servant, but he told God he was alone. Matter of fact, he told his servant, stay here. And I'm going to go a little bit further. See, that's a problem when you show up with people but you still feel alone. Elijah was with his servant. When we believe that lie, then we stop hanging around people. Boy, you're going right into the hands of the devil when you stop hanging around people. Because people will encourage you. People will provoke you, stimulate you to love one another. You know, you need some friends who will fight you out of a bad attitude. Some friends who will fight you out of quitting. Some friends who will gird you and gourd you into going on just one more step. You need some people in your life that will not tell you, yeah, you just need to throw in the towel. No, you need some people to say, who do you think you are? I hadn't heard no bell yet. There ain't no bell. The match isn't over. You got to keep fighting. And as a matter of fact, we'll come along beside you and we'll fight when you don't have the ability to fight, because we're your brother, we're your sister, we're going to keep doing what God's called us to do. You see, what the devil wants to do is get you by yourself. Because if he can get you by yourself, depression can take over. If he can get you by yourself, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. Now, listen to me closely. There's a difference in having some alone time. Everybody needs a little bit of alone time. I do. I cherish my alone time. When my wife and kids say, oh, we're going somewhere for the week, I'm like, oh. Inside I'm going, yeah. I get the house to myself. eat what I want to, when I want to, do what I want to. Yes. I love that time. When I get out on my motorcycle, if I'm alone, I go, yes. No, I wear a helmet. It don't matter if I shake my head anyway. But you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. However, what the devil wants to do is get you alone. When he gets you alone, he starts speaking lies and there's nobody to help you. There's nobody there to hold you up. If he can get you alone, do you ever notice that the, man, I've already preached wrong and I thought I would. Have you ever thought or thought about the herd? They always try to take the weak off too by themselves. But as long as they're with the herd, they can't attack the whole herd. They can't attack the whole herd. Stay in your place. Stay in your position. If he can get you away from the herd, he will have you in his grips in no time. And last thing is this. One of the best things you can do when you're down is to get on the phone and make a call. Well, who? Anybody. But you need some friends. Well, I don't have any friends. Then be friendly. If you ain't got no friends, there's a lot of folks who need a friend. But you just got to be friendly. Amen. Learn how to be a friend. Well, I don't know how to be. Read a book. Ask somebody. Google it. Whatever. How to be a friend. Amen. But the best thing you can do, you know, I was listening. I told this to the elders, that I was listening to a message. And I understand that 15,000 pastors leave the pastorate every month. And a lot of them because they don't have any friends. And, you know, everybody goes, it's lonely at the top. It shouldn't be. I take people to the top with me. I'm not going to be lone at the top. I'm going to take some people with me. And that way, if I get lonely, I'm going to turn to somebody who's there. Hey, I need a little help here, bro. But I heard this guy say, you know, and I've heard this, because here's what happens. God, I got to quit. Here's what happens. The devil gets you alone, starts talking to you. Well, nobody loves you. Everybody hates you. And then if somebody calls you, how you doing? I'm fine. I'm fine. You're lying. I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then nobody calls you because you're fine. Nobody's called me. I guess they don't like me because nobody's called me. You said you were fine. Listen, my idea of a haunted house is a house full of women saying, I'm fine. Whoo, child. Every man in this building, you know what I'm talking about. Baby, you okay? I'm fine. Okay. Yeah. I need some alone time away from her. Come on. I'm fine. But then they said, when's the last time you called somebody and checked on them? Well, when's the last time somebody called you? You know, here's what I'm a pastor, and listen, I'm used to it, guys. I'm used to it. But I have people all the time, you know, I ain't seen them in church in 47 years. And then all of a sudden, I'm their best friend because somebody's dying. Oh, pastor, I need you to come see me. I don't even know who you are. Right? Understand. But here's what I did. When I begin to think about this statement, I begin to call a couple of pastors that I knew that I hadn't heard from in a while. Hadn't seen them around. Just wanted to check on them. Hey, do yourself a favor. Call somebody and check on them. Do yourself a favor and let them call and check on you. Amen. If you're going to be baptized, I want you to go ahead and go. We got changing rooms up here. If you'll go ahead and get changed, I'm fixing to go change. If I had a piano player, it would really help me. But I don't know where my worship leader's at. But he'll hear about it as soon as I'm done. I promise you that. I promise you that I'm going to find somebody. That's not a piano player. That's a bass player. Yeah. Uh-huh. I had a word for you, but you didn't get it. But I promise you, you're going to get it after service. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that, God, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. And I give you glory and I give you praise. No matter and however, wherever we are, God, we know that you are fighting on our behalf. And today we give you thanks and praise. Lord, these just simple, practical ways, overlooked weapons, they will not be overlooked anymore in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.